Welcome to the deep dive. You gave us your sources, all your notes and research on secured property transfer, and we are here to provide the shortcut. We're going to synthesize all this knowledge into the most essential, actionable takeaways, especially for those of you who are operating a little outside the norm.
Right.
So today's mission, it comes directly from the core materials you shared with us, title and escrow considerations for independent deals.
Yeah, and this one is critical.
It is. This isn't really about the basics of real estate, right? This is, you know, highly specialized knowledge for anyone structuring a transaction privately.
Seller financing, things like that.
Exactly. Maybe seller financing, interfamily transfers, or those complex cash deals where the safety net of a big bank is. Well, it's just not there.
It's completely
out. It's a high stakes environment. Flexibility is the reward.
Yeah.
But extreme procedural vigilance, that's the cost. Okay, let's unpack this tension immediately.
And, you know, what's fascinating here is that the title itself, just those few words, it's almost like a warning sign.
How so?
It recognizes that title and escrow are usually just, you know, standard bureaucratic steps. But when you slap the qualifier independent deals onto it,
everything changes.
The entire framework shifts. It moves from just following rules to actually designing them from scratch. We need to get past defining title and escrow and really focus on how they become uniquely vulnerable in these private customized setups.
Absolutely. Okay, let's start there. Let's isolate the biggest area of risk in any property transfer. The title. We all sort of know title refers to legal ownership. But in an independent deal, why is establishing a clear, marketable title, not just a formality, why is it this this huge due diligence exercise?
It really boils down to one thing, the chain of title.
Okay.
In a standard deal, a lender demands a rigorous insured title search because their collateral, the property itself, depends on it.
Of course they want to protect their money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in an independent deal, without that lending pressure, you, the buyer, have to step into that role. You have to become the ultimate skeptic.
You're not just looking for obvious lenders?
No, you're tracking the full historical journey of that ownership. You're looking for everything.
So we're talking about finding problems that are, what, decades old? What kind of specific non-generic due diligence do you need to enforce here?
Well, first, you need to insist on an enhanced title insurance policy, and you really need to understand the difference.
Okay, what's the difference?
A standard search might miss things like unrecorded mechanics liens, maybe issues with access rights. In an independent deal where the seller might be, let's say, motivated to conceal things, or maybe just overlooks historical issues.
Right.
That enhanced policy becomes your best line of defense. It protects you against boundary encroachments, errors in prior recordings, or, and this is a big one, those unknown errors you always hear about.
Classic horror story.
It is. And furthermore, in these deals, especially the ones done quickly between parties who know each other, the type of deed becomes paramount.
You mean like a warranty deed versus a quick claim deed?
Precisely. Are you getting a general warranty deed where the seller guarantees they will defend the title against all historical claims? Or are they just offering a quick claim deed?
Which is not great.
Not great is putting it mildly. It merely transfers whatever interest they might have with absolutely no guarantee.
Wow. That's a massive shift in risk.
Yeah.
A quick claim essentially just transfers the headache along with the property.
Exactly.
So if the person I bought it from didn't actually own it completely, then I'm just out of luck. And I'm on the hook for the legal battle that follows.
That's it, precisely. And if that legal issue does surface, say, a forgotten easement or an old mortgage, the buyer's only real recourse might be what's called a quiet title action.
Which sounds expensive.
It's a very expensive legal maneuver to settle all the competing claims. So if you're entering an independent deal, the title consideration is this. If the seller is resisting a full warranty deed or comprehensive title insurance, the price had better reflect the cost of the future lawsuit you are almost certainly inheriting.
That level of scrutiny makes perfect sense for the title itself.
Yeah.
But what about the mechanics of the transfer? Let's pivot to that second critical pillar. Escrow.
Sure.
This is supposed to be the neutral ground, right?
Yeah.
The fortress protecting the exchange. How does that function get customized or complicated by the whole independent deal context?
Well, escrow's basic function is still the same, holding the buyer's money and the seller's deed until all the conditions are met.
Okay.
However, and this is the key, in an independent deal, the escrow officer isn't working off some standard pre-printed contract from a real estate board.
They're not just checking boxes.
Not at all. They are executing bespoke instructions. custom instructions.
So the complexity shifts from the property's history, the title, to the actual contract design, which is the escrow instructions.
Exactly. The integrity of the entire deal now rests on the quality and the specificity of those instructions.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's say your independent deal includes seller financing. The instructions have to detail not just the initial deed transfer, but also the recording of the new deed of trust, the promissory note, and the exact terms for releasing that lien once the buyer pays off the note.
And if the instructions are vague,
the whole structure just collapses.
Give us a concrete example of a really unique condition that would require specialized handling by an escrow agent.
Okay. Consider a situation where a property needs a specific repair, let's say a new septic system, but the buyer wants to close quickly.
Right, that happens.
A standard contract might just delay closing until the repair is done. But in an independent deal, you might agree on a monetary holdback.
Well, holdback.
Yeah. The buyer funds the full purchase price, but the escrow agent is instructed to hold back, say, $15,000. And that money is only released to the seller after the buyer provides proof that the septic repair is finalized and approved within maybe 60 days after closing.
Wow. That requires an escrow agent who is comfortable moving way beyond the standard checklist.
It does.
They have to act as a temporary fiduciary, holding money subject to performance conditions.
Yeah.
That sounds like a completely different level of service.
It is. Which brings up another key consideration for independent deals.
Yeah.
You have to vet your third-party agent.
You can't just go with the usual company.
No. In a standard brokerage deal, the escrow company is often just chosen by tradition. In a custom deal, you have to interview prospective escrow or title officers. You have to ask them specifically about their experience handling bespoke instructions or seller financing or complex holdback agreements.
You need to know they have the bandwidth and the legal expertise to execute documents that are totally unique.
Absolutely.
You know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the reason someone pursues an independent deal is often for speed and flexibility, to avoid all that bureaucratic red tape. Yet the advice we're giving here is that you must increase the red tape and rigor tenfold. That seems like a fundamental conflict.
That tension, that speed versus security, that is the heart of the independent deal. If you want to move quickly, you have to be willing to spend the time and the resources up front to create a bulletproof, customized legal framework. The speed is in the agreement phase, not the closing phase.
Not the execution.
Right. If you skimp on the legal drafting of your custom instructions, you have effectively traded a slow, secure closing for a fast, very vulnerable one.
So the burden really falls on the attorneys who are drafting these documents. In a conventional deal, attorneys mostly just review things.
Yeah.
Here, they're the primary architects.
Yes. The architects of the contract, the promissory note, the deed of trust, and the specific escrow instructions that tie it all together.
They're building the whole thing.
They are. Think about things like non-recourse notes or very specific default provisions details a traditional lender would never, ever allow, but which are essential to the unique risk allocation in a private deal.
And the escrow instructions have to get all of that right.
They must ensure these unique legal instruments are properly executed, recorded in the correct county order, and dated precisely. Otherwise, that whole risk allocation you agreed to just falls apart.
This really highlights that for independent deals, the consideration is about creating institutional-grade documents without the institution.
That's a great way to put it.
It's like custom building a vault instead of just buying a standardized one off the shelf.
And often in these independent scenarios, the seller might try to pass on the property as is, or maybe the buyer forgoes certain inspections just to close faster.
Right, those side deals.
Well, those agreements, which modify risk, have to be explicitly integrated into the legal structure of the escrow process. If they aren't written into the instructions, if they're just handshake agreements, they are worthless from a closing perspective.
The escrow officer can't act on them.
They only execute what is formally written in their instructions. Period. This also includes managing the disclosure process. Independent deals don't always follow state-mandated disclosure schedules as rigorously as brokered deals do.
Another potential pitfall.
It is. The escrow agent has to ensure that all disclosures the parties agreed upon are formally signed and acknowledged before any funds are released. It adds another custom checkpoint to the whole process.
Okay, let's try to synthesize all these nuggets of knowledge we've identified. We started with just a four-word topic title, and we've pulled out a whole blueprint for risk management in private transactions. So what does this all mean for the person actually engaging in an independent deal?
It means you have to treat title work not as a checkbox, but as a deep, archaeological dig.
I like that analogy.
You have to ensure that any quitclaim deed or any non-standard title issue is fully addressed and insured against with that enhanced coverage we talked about. And it means escrow must be viewed as a surgical mechanism capable of executing highly detailed custom instructions that reflect the unique risks and terms of your bespoke contract.
So the ultimate takeaway is that the freedom and flexibility of an independent deal, it's paid for. It's paid for by the necessity of precision and legal rigor.
Yeah.
You aren't just closing a deal. You're creating a new legal and procedural standard for that one specific transaction.
Indeed. The fundamental consideration here is ensuring that the personalized nature of the deal, the independent part, is fully protected and codified by the ironclad legal mechanism, the title and escrow part.
And if those customized terms aren't communicated perfectly to the title company and the escrow officer,
they cease to exist legally, and you revert back to standard and potentially very unfavorable default rules.
That is a crucial distinction. The legal strength isn't in the handshake agreement.
Not at all.
It's in the precision of the printed instructions you give to that neutral third party.
That's everything.
Stepping back, it's just remarkable how much liability an individual takes on when they remove that buffer of institutional lending, and how essential it becomes to understand these hidden processes.
It's huge.
The freedom of the independent deal is seductive, but the cost of ignorance is exponentially higher than in a conventional closing.
And that vigilance, as we've discussed, it never truly ends at the state line. We've defined the general principles of custom title work and escrow management. But for a final thought, consider this. What if your independent deal involves cross-jurisdictional elements?
An owner in one state selling to a buyer in another.
Exactly. How does the required compliance change? Different jurisdictions have vastly different laws about who can hold escrow funds, what constitutes proper recording, and even whether attorneys or title companies lead the process.
So there's a whole other layer.
There is. And that necessary cross-jurisdictional research is the next critical layer of inquiry for anyone tackling an independent deal that involves parties from multiple states.
A great challenge to leave our listeners with. The learning really never stops when you're managing your own risk. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the essentials of secured, bespoke property transfer.
My pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.